Let the family say amen. It's taken me 3 weeks to get to this verse I've been trying to preach. Pastor Roscoe said, this is your last Sunday. If you don't get it this time, we moving on to somebody else. So in the book that is named after me, Jeremiah, I've been trying to get to this verse. Y'all read it this morning. And they'll have it for you on the screen. I want to wrap this little series up by telling y'all on my last Sunday, this is not what I expected. This is not what I expected. This morning in the y'all's responsive reading, you read it from chapter 20, verses 7 through 10. And I need to tell you, this is not what I expected. The issue is this: I received punishment instead of praise. I thought that if I would walk after the Lord and do what he said, go where he said, go and say what he would say, if I did a halfway decent job, somebody would appreciate it. But I received punishment instead of praise. I didn't have y'all read this part, but in the same chapter, I got beat up and I got thrown into stocks. I was punished. They didn't know nothing about Pastor's Appreciation Month. They didn't know nothing. They don't know nothing about Pastor's anniversary. And evidently, they never read that text, touch not thine anointed and do thy prophet. Do the prophet no harm. Y'all looking at me like I made this up. It's right here in the text. This one dude, he was the priest, because religious folk fight too. And when he heard what I said, he had me beat up, put in stocks, and they put me in stocks at a very prominent place. Because what they were really trying to do was constrain me and control me and humiliate me. And y'all might as well learn and know that sometimes people will try to constrain you, limit what you can do, limit what you can say, limit where you can go. But what I discovered is that if God wants you to have it, you gonna get it. If God wants you to go there, he's gonna make a way. But I also discovered that along the way, sometimes you're going to go through some stuff to get to some stuff. And I want to encourage you that I experienced something that I really didn't expect. And when I mentioned it to God, you know what he said? Me too. Because I didn't expect the people to respond like this. I really didn't. They punished me because of what I preached. If I hadn't preached, they probably would have left me alone, which is a whole nother lesson. Ain't it funny that there are some battles you never had until you started following God? What's up with that? There's some arguments, some debates, some issues you never had until you started doing what God told you to do. They gave me punishment instead of praise, and they punished me because of what I preached. I hear you. Somebody in the back asked me, well, what did you preach? Well, here's what I preached. I wrote it in the 19th chapter. In the 19th chapter, in the first verse, God said, you're going to do another sermon with an illustration. And what I want you to do is go back to the potter's house, and I want you to buy a jar. I said, all right, Lord. And so I went down back to the potter's house, and he says, are you here? He asked me, are you here to just look, or are you buying something today? I said, well, I'm here to buy something today. He said, well, what kind of vessel are you looking for? And then I scratched my head because God really didn't tell me what kind of vessel to buy. He just said, you get you one. And so I picked one out, hoping that it would suit the Lord. It was kind of nice, wasn't the most expensive, and it wasn't the cheapest. It was kind of middle of the road because I did want to eat on the way home. And after I got the jar, the Lord showed up again. He said to me, go get the elders of the synagogue and get the priests and ask them to go with you on a little walk. And I want you to walk, I want you to take them with you down, take them with you down to the valley of Ben Hinnom. And for y'all who don't know, that's where the potsherd was, and when I wrote it, I knew y'all wouldn't know what it was, but that's the place that was nearest where we got the clay, and that was where, it was pretty close to where the potter's house was, but it was also the place near a dump. And a potsherd is pieces of broken clay. It's scraps. Jars are very important vessels. We already talked about that. You gotta have water, and you can't carry the water in your hand. But every now and then, accidentally, people break vessels. And when the vessel gets broke because they can't fix it, they take the scraps down to the valley of Ben Hinnom, and they throw them over. It's the neighborhood dump. And the Lord told me to take the brand new vessel that I had bought, accompanied by the elders of the synagogue and the high priest, and to go down there. And when I get down there, he told me to say, this is how the Lord will do the nation who have forsaken him. And then he said, I want you to be real dramatic, and I want you to take that jar that you bought and throw it down and break it into pieces, because I need them to hear and see what I mean. And tell them this is what the Lord will do, not just to the people, but to the nation and to the city who disobeys him. That's what I preached. And the lesson is really this, that it's important to know that the same God that goes through all that he goes through to buy the vessel will turn right around and break the vessel if he has to. People get excited about God buying the vessel, but not too many people want to talk about how God will break a vessel on purpose. And the reason why he was breaking the vessel is because they turned from him. They forsook him and started worshiping foreign gods. Here's what's crazy. They walked away from the very one who made them and was keeping them. And God was trying to say, how you gonna walk from the very one who watched over you all night long and who touched you and woke you? It wasn't a rooster. I touched you and woke you early this morning, and I put food on your table, clothes on your back, food in the fridge, and after I do all of that, you gonna walk away from me? It's in there. I had to preach it because the people needed to know that God is a jealous God, and they had forsaken him. But then here's the other thing they'd done. They had filled the place with the blood of the innocent. These people of God had started sacrificing the children. They were killing the babies. They filled the place with the blood of the innocent. Baal, you know, he's a false god, and people who worship him, they can't get nothing from him because he does have eyes, but he can't see. They gave him some hands, but he can't give. They made him an image, but he can't move. And so the people, in their effort to try to get something from him, will do all kind of crazy stuff to try to get him to move on their behalf. And the people, heathens of the world, were offering their children as a sacrifice, trying to get Baal to bless them. You got to be careful about the company you keep. Because there's some folk, you never did what you did until you hung around somebody else who doing it. And before you know it, there were some other people. And God is upset at anybody who killed a baby. And so I had to preach it because the Lord said, if you don't stop, just like I did the jar, I'm going to do you and this nation. I got punishment instead of praise. I got punishment because instead of praise. I got punishment because of what I preached. And the only reason I preached is because he picked me. So I told him at the beginning I didn't want to do this. I didn't ask for this job. He picked me. And when I told him I was too young, too inexperienced and all of that, he started talking about I already designed it. Before you were in your mama's womb, before your daddy met your mama, before Big Mama met Big Papa, I done already worked this thing out. The only reason I did it was because he picked me. Here's my issue. I get punished instead of praise. Get punished because of what I preached. Preached only because he picked me. And I would suggest to anybody up in here, this ain't nothing I would volunteer for. Only did it because he picked me. So, my problem happens because I've been picked to preach, and folk don't like what I preach, and so they punish me. I know how to solve this problem. Stop preaching. That's what I'm going to do. I figure this thing out. I preach. They don't like it. They punish me. They don't appreciate it. Okay. Stop preaching. I propose it's time to stop preaching. Even he can't stop. And I tried. I told the Lord, you deceived me. You tricked me. You got me into this thing. And it ain't turning out the way I thought it should or would. And so now, God, I need to let you know I ain't preaching. I ain't preaching no more. That's it. And then, his word. I tried to describe what it felt like to not give his word. His word in my heart, it felt like fire shut up in my bones. And I know you're trying to figure out, why did I use the word fire to describe how it feels? Well, let me explain it like this. Fire has a whole lot of benefits and purposes. It's like fire, because a fire will give you comfort on the journey by providing light. I don't know about y'all, but I don't like a whole lot of darkness. I heard y'all got this thing called night lights that gives you just enough so you can see your way. Fire, it gives comfort on the journey because it lets you see. That's what the word's like. You can be just as ignorant as you can be, and you start getting into God's word, it'll let you see some things you never could see before. Fire, another benefit, fire, they use fire to make stuff palatable. They use it to cook food, to make it better. Even when things are good and you get in the word, it'll make it even better because it helps you to appreciate who gave it and where it came from. I wanted to use the word fire because back in the day, we used fire to clear the land, to get rid of trash so we could have a whole new season of growing again. I use the word fire because fire can change the atmosphere from being cold to warm. That's why I use the word fire. Fire, because if you get cut, it ain't got no doctor. If you're bold enough. I heard y'all's Cowboys used to do it. The latest one I saw do it was a guy by the name of Denzel. Some of y'all liked him. And when he got cut, he would take a knife and put it in the fire and do this thing called cauterize. Because cauterizing is sealing the wound. Fire. Fire brings light so you can see. Fire brings comfort for the journey. Fire cooks your food. Fire clears the land. Fire changes the atmosphere from cold to warm. Fire seals the wound so that you can survive it. I described it like fire. But you know, the biggest thing about fire, it'll make you move. It'll make you move. I said I was going to sit down somewhere. Said I wasn't going to read no more, wasn't going to mention his name no more, but it was like fire, and if fire don't do nothing else, if you get close to it, it'll make you. It'll make you move. His word in my heart was like fire, but it was also like fire shut up in my bones. Now, that's a whole nother picture. Fire is one thing, but let me tell you where it was. It was inside my bones. If the fire was on me, I could have stopped, dropped, and rolled. If it was on me, if it had got on my clothes, I could have done something about it. All I would need to do is stop, drop, and roll. And I could have put it out and I could have went back and sat down. But it wasn't on my clothes. It wasn't even in my flesh. Because if it was in my flesh, all I would need was a cool drink of water. And I could have quenched it if it was in my flesh. But how can you put out a fire that's in your bones? Bones, the skeleton where everything else attached to. Bones, the things that gives you structure. Bones, the things that allows you to move and be. It's sealed in my bones. So I couldn't suffocate it. I couldn't quench it. Matter of fact, I tried to contain it. That's why I told the Lord, this thing has overwhelmed me. It's overpowered me. Because even when I say I wasn't going to say it no more, every time I turned around, the image of God, the goodness of God was everywhere I go, everywhere I went, everything that I saw. I tried to tell you, it was like fire shut up in my bones, and I couldn't contain it. I had some friends who said they were waiting on me to slip. I had some friends at 10th verse that I wrote, they were waiting on me to fall. They were waiting on me to give up. They wanted me to throw in the towel because then they would have the victory. But I couldn't do it because when God put his word in me, when he plants something, the seed is going to come forth no matter how you try to hold it back. It's going to come forth because it's what he's planted. There's life in the seed. And the people said, when you gonna quit? When you gonna give up? How much more of this you gonna take? They were sitting around, my friends were sitting around waiting for me to slip so they could laugh at me again. I wrap this up by telling you, if you got friends like that, you need a new set of friends. If you got a friend that's trying to encourage you to throw in the towel on God, you need another set of friends. If you got a friend that says you need to retaliate even though you don't understand it, sticks and stones is one thing, but when it gets physical, you need to get physical. If you got some friends that are trying to get you to do something that's outside of what you know to be the will of God, you need another set of friends. And the whole call of my life is to give you a picture of the fact that down the road, there's another one coming after me. And the one who's coming after me, he's somebody you can trust as a friend. Peek down the corridors of time, and here's what you're going to discover. When he comes, you think I went through something, you ain't seen nothing yet. I ain't fed nobody, I ain't raised nobody from the dead, I ain't healed nobody, I just preach. But if folk think that I was good for preaching, all that he did in spite of what he did, you know what they did? They punished him. They crucified him. They called him everything but a child of God, but he never quit. He didn't stop. He didn't throw in the towel. He didn't argue with God. He didn't cuss out nobody. He did. They restrained him. They constrained him. They crucified him. And yet he rose from the dead with all power in his hands. And one day, if you ever get to meet him, you'll discover ain't no friend like Jesus. He's somebody who will walk with you. He's somebody who will talk with you. He's somebody who already died for you. He's somebody sitting at the right hand of the Father. And I want to encourage you to hang on in there because there's some stuff you don't expect down here, but there's some stuff you won't expect when you get up there, because over there, there's a city made, not made by hands. Over there, they've got a city that the light never goes out. Over there, streets are paved with gold. And over there, there's a reward that awaits those that responded to his call. And when he gets done blessing you, you'll feel shame. Because you'll never expect what he has in store for you if you just trust him. Know for a fact that there are some people that are determined to remain in their sins. And for some folk, all the preaching in the world ain't gonna change their mind. And so it's just my job to tell it, and it's their job to decide whether or not they're gonna believe. Folk won't always appreciate what you do, how you do it, but it's your response to walk in God's will for your life, to run the race that he set out for you. And when this thing is all over, you will understand it better. Somebody said, by and by. Going through it, it gets tough sometimes. Going through makes you want to give up sometimes. But I'm trusting, pleading, asking you, no matter how hard it gets, please don't give up on God, because the God you serve has never given up on you. He loves you enough to call you. He loves you enough to keep you. And he loves you enough to use you to change lives for the kingdom. God, I'm sorry. Sorry I wanted to quit. God, I'm sorry that I gave you a piece of my mind. God, I'm sorry because it didn't turn out the way I expected. So help me, Lord, to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen.